fire by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. We're hanging out here at the Tour Championship. This lovely lady's just walking by.
Hello. How are you?
Good to see you. We are out here on a short show today until about 5 o'clock because we have Falcons football guys, the final preseason game for
this
the Falcons.
This is it. Make no mistake about it. 53-man roster coming up right after.
Well, we're gonna learn a little bit more about our team, a little bit more about some guys. But look, the story is Chris Sale. And the story is how dominant he was last night as the Braves complete the sweep against the Dodgers. Look, I've had my doubts. I have questioned some of the moves AA has made, which I've never really done.
Right.
And everything seems to be working out just perfectly after the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, when Kim got a game-winning hit and Murphy starts hitting, you got to be kidding me. I thought when the double play got overturned, they said that Matt Olson's foot came off the bag. I said, rut-row. You know, because Matt Olson, Matt Olson, he's like Spider-Man over there. But Sale was fine. Sale was able to get the K. And what an emphatic way to end his most dominant performance, arguably, in the last 6 years.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, I love his moxie, which gets us back to Michael Penix. His moxie is, hey, Walt, I got this. When he went in there getting ready for the ninth inning, he was like, look, he didn't say, you know what, my arm's worn out. You know what, I've thrown 90 pitches. I don't think I can go back out there. The competitive spirit in Chris Sale allowed him to go out and finish that game. And the reason why I bring this up is because guys are still hitting us about the conversation we had yesterday. We know Michael Penix is not playing tonight. Fine. But it doesn't get away from, I don't like what he had to say about why he's not playing on Friday, or for that matter, right now. But Chris Sale, man, let me hear him, Big O, because he talked about the belief in the clubhouse. And guys, look, I don't know if you think this is a World Series team, but I'm starting to believe it. Here's Chris Sale.
I think just the belief that we have in ourselves and in each other, you know, I think, you know, anyone can be happy when it's going good, you know, and you know, who are you when it's not? And I think, you know, we've showed, you know, a few times this year when it's not going good, you know, we still have each other's backs. We're still putting in work. Sure, even yesterday, you talk about Kim, you know, being the hero of that game last night. That guy's worn out that batting cage. I mean, absolutely worn it out. I don't know. We got this fancy pitching machine thing that, you know, has the screen and all that. He's probably got our money's worth just himself in that thing over the last couple of months. So, but just the faith that we have, you know, in each other, and, you know, we're just such a cohesive group. We love each other. We have each other's backs, and, you know, we're never going to point fingers. We're only going to lift each other up.
Outstanding. That's what a team's all about. Walt Weiss doing a great job. Look, he's learned from Snitker. You're never going to have enough pitching, and you probably won't have enough on the 7-8-9, so you have to juggle that all season long. Walt's done an amazing job, but Chris Sale is the guy, Carl, that we can always bank on. Chris Sale would fit in with Smoltz and Maddox and Glavin and Avery and everybody else that they had back in the day, but this guy is such an alpha, you know, and the killer instinct that you just talked about. Look, we don't see complete games anymore in the Major League. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
But this guy is the ultimate that you want. And that's the guy who we want, you know, having the baseball in games one and hopefully four in a best of five, but certainly in game one, whatever the playoffs are going to be.
Nope.
And by the way, right now, edging right up on the Dodgers with sweeping them.
Yeah. And look, the performance was impressive, but no walks. Like that to me, 11 strikeouts and no walks.
Right.
And you pitch a complete game. That dude is on his game. Now, this is the comment I was talking about when Sale said, hey, Skip, I got this.
Yep.
Here's what Chris Sale told Walt Weiss.
You know, after the eighth inning, I knew my pitch count was creeping up there, but, you know, 1-0 ball game. I knew I was, you know, just south of 100, so, you know, I just told Walt I got this one. And, you know, tonight it worked out.
That's what confident players do, Mike. That's what competitiveness is. And look, if he goes out there and, you know, again, Walt doesn't let him, you know, get through that inning for whatever reason, you still applaud the fact that he wanted to go back out there. And that is something that's either in you or it's not. And we're trying to find that out about some of our Falcons right now. 404-726-0929. Braves sweep the Dodgers. Best series of the year for us?
Yes, by far, hands down.
I agree.
Again, playoff atmosphere, generally low scoring, more low scoring than Drake Baldwin, you know, doing the job, and then Sale does the rest. And this is what you're going to see in October. So you feel good. Look, you felt really bad after that awful road trip. You know, Minnesota, what happened with Milwaukee. You know, you salvaged the game in Williamsport. But all of a sudden, you were feeling like, uh-oh, it looked like June was starting all over, and they just stopped it cold in its tracks. And then, as I said, you know, Kim getting that hit. I mean, like, if Kim doesn't get another hit, I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but hopefully it's going to be the start of something big for him, or at least get some of his confidence back and maybe earning the right to get more at-bats. It will get him in some form of rhythm.
I agree. Follow Mike, by the way, on social media, ATL Bell 929. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on, guys. We will talk more about our Falcons on the way as well. We will get a chance to talk to Chad Bishop about not only this Braves team and what he's thinking about them, but also moving forward. You get the Rockies next, Mike, coming off of this sweep. Let's build on it. He will join us coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. And we also got some guy talk for you a little bit later on, because I want to know how this concert was, man.
Man, what a great vibe last night. Look, now the funny thing is, as we're walking into AC/DC last night in Mercedes-Benz, I look around at my cousin. Now, it's our birthday weekend. That's why we always stroll down, and we have a big weekend. We had fun yesterday here at the Tour Championship, AC/DC. Got Florida State coming up this weekend down at Tally. But it was funny because Tony looks around and goes, man, there's a lot of old people here. I go, you're 62. I'm 58. I go, we are the old people. The average age, I told Gordon G. Money, our producer, I said, the average age is like 63 at this concert. But it was great, man. Look, it's one thing when you see the Stones tour in their 80s, but when you see AC/DC, that's a really high-intensity concert with the guitarist and the drums and the singer, Brian, really have to bring it. And for a 78-year-old guy to still be able to say, you know, Daddy Deeds done to cheap, it was great.
Yeah.
You got exactly what you wanted to see. You and I talk all the time about concerts, and sometimes the artists get self-indulgent or the new material. They played it everything you wanted to hear last night, and a crowd was wild. I never sat on the floor at Mercedes-Benz for a show.
How was the sound?
Very cool. I was off the PA system off the stage, which was all Marshall stacks, and it was massive. But it was, Carl, it was a great concert, man. Also got to try our good friend Kevin Egan's bar, Irish Exit.
Oh, no, down there by State Farm.
Yeah, we had not been there because the World Cup, it was so upside down. But got a chance to sample some of the new cool spots right next to Cosm.
Very nice.
And that looks amazing, too. And, boy, they're printing money over at that Cosm place. Holy moly.
Yeah.
But anyway, great. The whole vibe was fantastic.
Awesome. And you guys can chime in as well. We're going to talk to B-Mac, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, Pittsburgh Steelers, and CBS NFL analyst. We'll get his take as we finish up the preseason this weekend and head towards the regular season. And I can't wait. I'm so over talking about the woulda, coulda, shouldas, Mike, and how this may play out. We will know a lot more after this game. And certainly, you said it, the 53-man roster being figured out by Kevin Stefanski and his staff.
Right.
Meanwhile, as we're talking about the Falcons, there are a couple of guys that do need to perform tonight. And this whole Tua thing, by the way, it's gotten a life of its own. Yesterday, you ended the show talking about the story that was out there, and a lot of people are running with it. If he doesn't play well, he's going to be cut. Again, not buying that, but we'll see. Again, I don't know how he performs tonight, but I in my mind, I've said this to you, I think he'd really have to be terrible for them to make that kind of move, especially with the inexperience of Jack Frost, because he's not going to play, right? He's going to play tonight, but he's not going to start. And then, obviously, Cooper Rush being on this roster, he was late to the ball game as well. They picked him up, guys, the day camp started. So, Cooper Rush, you know, again, he hasn't had the time to learn this offense like Tua, who they picked up way early in the offseason and allowed him to come in.
Look, Tua is a guy that was behind the eight ball. That's what some of the national folks, look, with all due respect, they don't know this team. They don't follow the team like we do. Tua missed about four or five games, or practice days, I should say. The game situation was awful for him against the Broncos, and fans got to see that. And then the only thing that came out of the scrimmage with the Colts was him missing the snap and then running around looking like a chicken with his head cut off. That's why I think it's important for Tua to maybe reestablish himself. I know that we talked at the end of the show to your point about, you know, does he really need to have a good maybe Stefanski looks at him and again, what does Stefanski owe him? They're going to give Michael Penix Jr. every opportunity to hold on to this job, win this job, and keep this job. It's just a matter of when the hell is Michael Penix Jr. going to ever be ready to play football.
Yeah, but to your point, those are two moments. We haven't seen every moment in practice.
Right. It might not be as bad as folks perceive it to be.
Yeah.
So, in the eyes of the coaching staff.
And that's why, again, highlights can be misconceiving sometimes. You know, when you're like, man, he played terrible. Well, what else has he been doing? We will see, though. We'll find out what they think. I think this is going to be pretty easy, cut and dry. But we'll get into some of these other guys, excuse me, that we're looking at that I think have to perform. And especially, Mike, I'm thinking about, you know, this offensive line. Is Jarrell your swing tackle? Is he going to be your guy? Or is it going to be a guy that I didn't believe in after 2 days of practice?
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do there on the offensive line and say, hey, if we have an issue, this is going to be how we're going to handle that. And I think they've been trying to figure that out. And then the depth of the D-line as well. So there's a bunch of guys that could make this team. But there's also a bunch of guys that they may be looking at their exit ticket because we came into camp thinking, all right, he's got a good shot. And you mentioned, you know, Bryce is one of those, right? Trice is one of those.
I know that there's guys we've been pulling for, but, you know, you look at it, injuries just – that's the same argument with Michael Penix Jr. I mean, you drafted a quarterback with an injury history that other teams were not going to draft because of it.
Yeah.
And then he misses the first season and may miss the start of this season. And, again, he played in 12 games in his career. And folks have seen enough to say he's the guy, get off his back. And, by the way, I'm not saying a word about Penix today because now race has gotten into this. I'm being called racist on social media.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm the white guy. Well, and that's the last time I could check.
Well, there's other white guys that are criticizing Michael Penix, they're on television.
But again, I'm over this. So again, I said to one guy on Twitter today, I said, your unconscious bias about the quarterback position maybe is something you need to look at, sir.
Yeah.
Because any other quarterback, you'd be already writing this guy off. But this guy, you're giving him five chances.
Look, whenever we see him play a real game, whether it's week one or week four, I just believe everybody's going to be really critical of what they think about him coming back and how he plays. And I don't want to hear, well, he needs 3 or 4 weeks, because that's what a lot of people will give him, right? Oh, well, he needs – well, we don't have that kind of time. I don't have 3 or 4 weeks for us to lose while he gets right. So once he comes in and plays, the deal is he needs to be on his A game. And I think that's the expectation. 404-726-0929. Want to give a shout-out here before we get to our first break. Yesterday, buddy of the show, Coy Wire, you watch him on CNN, hits us up, and he was in an Uber.
Saw that yesterday.
And a lovely lady named Sharmika loves our show, and he takes a picture of her and him in the Uber together, and she's giving us a big wave, but we didn't give her a shout-out yesterday. She attended Morris Brown. Mm. Day-Day, big shout-out to Day-Day.
Right on.
But she loves the show, and we just need to let her know, man, thank you so much. She's always Coy says she always has us on. They got into a discussion. He got in the Uber and Everly, obviously asked her, you know, you listen to the station. So big shout-out to Coy Wire and Sharmika. Thank you so much for listening to 92.9 The Game. All right, we got a lot more to get to. B-Mac is going to join us next. We're live at the Tour Championship, and we will give you a leaderboard update.
Yeah, man, because we've seen some big things happening out there on the course today. You and I both got a chance to watch Rory McIlroy. Got to see some of the guys who were on late, who got on early today as they flipped the order. And, man, conditions are right for some good scores today.
All right, we're coming back. All of that and much more on a Big Friday show live from the Tour Championship at Eastlake. Dukes and Bell, we are live at the Tour Championship, and we will give you an update on the leaderboard. Remember, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of college football coverage, guys, in the ATL. Join us tomorrow at 8 a.m. as Mitch Evans and Abe Gordon set the stage for all of the day's big games. College football game time. And it's brought to you by Ingles, low prices, love the savings, and by Window Nation. WindowNation.com or call 866-90-NATION. And then stay tuned, 11:30 a.m., North Carolina against TCU. It all starts tomorrow right here at 8 a.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk to our buddy B-Mac, because the Falcons play their final preseason game tonight against the Miami Dolphins. And B, the discussion all week has been Michael Penix, who is not playing tonight. Are you at all surprised when he said that he wasn't ready to play in tonight's game because he hadn't had enough 11-on-11 after being cleared over the weekend last weekend?
No, I'm not surprised. We've had countless discussions about the difference of 7-on-7 compared to 11-on-11. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys share with me that some fans feel like a 7-on-7 drill or session in practices, they're just as important as 11-on-11. No. And I share with you guys, there are two different things in terms of the realness of what actually looks like in real game activity. So for him, just getting cleared, only having, 2 or 3 days of doing 11-on-11 work. And you got to realize in those sessions, he wasn't getting every rep. He still was probably sharing some of those reps with Tua Tagovailoa. No question he ain't ready. He ain't ready. He plays – that's the quarterback is the most important position. Intellectually speaking, that is the most intense position, right? So the rhythm, the continuity, the everything, you need to make sure you have the amount of reps where you can be at your best. So for him saying that he ain't ready, no, I respect that. He's being honest. Because if he goes out there knowing that he ain't ready and he put out bad tape, then what the naysayers going to say then?
I guess as we said yesterday, Bryant, it just we're used to hearing guys like he's got to fight. The coaches have to keep him off the field, and just want to hear a little more aggressiveness. And to your point, it's funny because guys are like, "No, man, he's playing it smart. He's playing it smart." I'm just like, "Okay, an injury prone quarterback. We want to establish the baseline, what he can do, and we want to see a full season." You know, and that's why we're disappointed. But I mean, the question is going to be, does he fit this offense? Because a lot of play action, a lot of under center, and that's something that Tua also had to do more of because he didn't do that in Miami.
Correct. And to throw a question to you, Mike, and the same can be said for Carl as well. Let's say Penix played in this final preseason game and had a great series or two series. Right, two series of whatever he might have played in this hypothetical. Do you think that would have made him become the starter week one?
If Tua is not matching his abilities, then maybe. You know, I mean, like I said, we've only seen the bad things about Tua. You know, there's been probably some good things the coaches are evaluating. But, you know, if Penix came out and looked comfortable in this offense, I mean, certainly the court of public opinion, but that doesn't decide who's going to be the quarterback.
Yeah, and for me, B, yes.
Because the decision already
the
made.
The answer is yes.
Who is the starting quarterback, right?
Well, it hadn't been named yet. We assume, we all think that's what's going to happen, but we're the only team in the NFL that hasn't named their starting quarterback. And I do think if Penix played well in two or three series, whatever it might have been tonight, that it would have amplified he's ready, which is what everybody's been talking about. Is he ready? And if he would have shown that, I do think that would have been the differentiating factor in this whole ordeal, but we're not going to see that. And for me, I know Mike's been saying this. I look, this is where I disagree. I've seen good passes from Penix. We were there for 2 weeks straight. I've seen him throw good passes. The problem is fans have taken the 9 plays from the first preseason game, which were bad, but the offensive line didn't block, and Stefanski called him out in the second week of the preseason against Indianapolis. There's just a lot more, B, that goes into this when you talk about evaluating the performance, and you know better than anybody, sometimes it's not all on the quarterback.
Agreed. No question. And for Penix, I think that the smart thing for him to do is not force an issue when you know you're not ready yet, you're not acclimated yet. His time is going to come. Let's say they named Tua Tagovailoa to start a week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Man, Penix, be patient. To y'all point, y'all haven't really been hyped about what y'all seen. Keep it real.
Yes.
No one in Atlanta is really hyped about Tua Tagovailoa as a starting quarterback. Now, a lot can change between now and week one, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. But just based on what y'all have seen, who is excited about Tua as a starting quarterback? So if I'm Michael Penix, continue to get acclimated, continue to get comfortable within this new offense, right? Get the necessary reps because his time is going to come.
B, can we be honest, though? There's more excitement about Jack Strand than there is Michael Penix and Tua. Can we be honest?
Right. We've got a guy who looks like a poor man, Josh Allen.
It's real.
And you know, Brett B,
no,
now real quick.
Yeah.
Now,
it's
B,
real.
B, I've told Carl, maybe he makes the practice squad. Maybe, I don't know how they evaluate him. The quarterback play has been so abysmal here over the years, with the exception of a few weeks of Kirk Cousins, that people have latched on to a guy who looks like a Josh Allen from a small school.
Hey, Carl.
What up?
Go Jack Strand out there in AccuSure Stadium week one against T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward.
Exactly.
Well, here's the deal, B. You're going to get Michael Penix killed, too, if you run him out there. I mean, like, at least Strand can escape pressure.
That is true. White boy can move, B.
So, how many years has Strand been in the league?
Oh, he's an undrafted rookie. I mean, he's an undrafted free agent.
Undrafted rookie, right?
Yeah.
And he came from where?
Moorhead.
Minnesota Moorhead.
Yeah.
But he did have offers to go to bigger schools like Trinidad Chandler.
Wait a minute, B. You're going to dismiss this kid even though he's played well in camp? This is what people are talking about.
No. I'm not dismissing him. What I'm saying is the equivalent of what he's done since becoming Atlanta Falcon.
Yeah.
You can't just sit here and say, wow, he gives us more of a bright spot at the quarterback position because of one good preseason game.
Right.
And you're talking about game planning against a guy, and oh, by the way, some of the players that he was playing against probably won't make the team.
So that's my point.
In terms of future, you know, references with Jack, no question he can develop to be something, but he's not ready for that type of smoke. Week one smoke and preseason 2 week smoke ain't the same smoke. Period. So if you want to be hyped about him, that's one thing. But in terms of consideration being a starter for week one, no. It's only two guys that should be in that conversation.
Right.
It's Tua Tagovailoa and it's Michael Penix.
But one guy hasn't played, and the other guy, according to everybody else, has played poorly. The only guy that's played well is the dude you're talking about. That's the issue. And look, I don't disagree with you, but the deal B is this. You've got Falcon fans who are starved for good quarterback play, and when we see it, we go, hey, why not play this damn kid? Jack Frost, by the way, is his nickname. Go ahead.
Jack, I like the nickname, by the way.
It's
that's
tight.
A heck of a nickname.
It's tight.
That's tight, no question. But y'all, Atlanta is in a very, very tough situation at the quarterback position, right? And I believe Tua Tagovailoa will be named the starting quarterback
because
the competition has been injured, right? So
right. If
I'm Michael Penix, you kind of expect that. But just be patient, bro. His time will come. It's like the Cleveland Browns situation with Shador and Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Shador, you're gonna get chance to start.
Yeah.
You better believe it. Just be ready. And if I'm Michael Penix, his time will come.
Right. And we heard Shador basically saying all the right things, taking the high road and saying no reason to push it. And Penix has been super patient. Look, B, maybe it's just a new generational thing.
What do you
guys
mean?
Just go, I'm just doing what the doctors tell me. It'll happen when it happens.
Brian, don't take this bait. Don't
you
take
know,
it.
It's just when I'll be ready when they tell me I'm ready. I mean, I feel ready, but the doctors say I'm not ready, so I guess I'm not ready. And we're just used to guys like, you know, Joe Montana, we talked about, or Steve Young, or Troy Aikman, or even Mike Vick racing to get back ahead of schedule, you know, and that just ain't happening here.
So basically, y'all wanted Penix to say, I'm ready to play. I want to play. Even
yes.
though he knew he wasn't going to play.
You that's damn
yes, that's all I need.
You damn
That's
right.
all I need. We don't even go down this road, B. That's all I want to hear.
That's what we wanted to hear. Yes. That's exactly
that's it.
Right.
Okay. That's all I need to hear from him. Hey, man, I want to go out there. They won't let me go out there. I'm ready to win this job. It is my job.
Okay.
And he ain't saying that. Not even close to anything like that. That's all
y'all
want to
hear. Y'all want to see some fire in the belly. That's all.
That's all.
That's it, Joe.
That's it.
And look, by the way, I like Strand. I think they maybe stash him on the practice squad. Hope no one takes him. But you know, B, you've been around enough camps. The backup is always everybody's sweetheart.
You better believe it. Exactly. And Strand, to your point, has been a feel-good story for camp with the Falcons. But he's not in consideration for QB1 right now.
It's
no,
ridiculous.
Not happening.
This is ridiculous.
He's not ready for Pittsburgh.
You know what? I feel like we're getting a little biased here. Maybe Bryant McFadden has the game plan for the Steelers going into week one.
Well, he definitely
and he knows what's
he definitely has
down.
Division two unconscious bias.
I tell you this much. But Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. About 2 months ago, our very own Carl Duke was singing the praises of Tua.
And I still am.
He's hearing this and that, and he had the jersey ready, and now he done turned his back on
him. No. I still
Strand
am.
Is your new Tua.
The thing for me is, if everybody wants to talk about how preseason matters and performance matters, then play the best guy. That's where I've been. So you can't come at me. I still think Tua's going to help us win. And that whole premise was give him a chance. There were people like, dude, he's a bum. I'm not going to give him a chance. My thing was, B, I'm going to give him a chance. T-U-A.
I have no interest in Tua, Brian.
Until he wins you some games.
I mean, and Cooper
until,
Rush.
Until he wins
but
you
I'm
some
saying,
games.
But, Cooper Rush is a guy, you know, B, he's been around the league. Like, he is the ultimate backup. Right? The ultimate backup.
Yeah.
Like a Gardner Minshew could probably win you a couple games. Not going to be good enough for a season. We got Cooper there. That's why some fans, again, are interested in that four-string guy. But somebody in the organization did find this Jack Strand kid who, had he gone to a bigger school like Trinidad Chambliss,
yep.
then his whole, you know, obviously the resume is different and the perception is different.
It is. It is. And like I said, no knock on Jack Strand. I think he's taking advantage of the opportunity. But in terms of his consideration for week one start at quarterback,
nope.
You don't want to throw him out in that smoke. No. On the road also against that defense. And I ain't being biased because I played with the Steelers. But they got some ish on that defense right now.
B, I've been saying this. I said it this early this week. If Michael Penix, you run him out there week one, you're really setting him up for failure. I believe that. And that's not what you want to do. We go back to when Raheem was here and when they wanted to try to throw him into the mix. He didn't throw him out there against the number one defense at the time, which was the Chargers. He didn't want to do that to the kid. So when they throw him out there against the lowly New York Giants, who were terrible.
Right. And by that time, the season was lost. I mean, they should. And this is also a byproduct, Carl, just to back it up, of Zach Robinson, who apparently is not exactly having the easiest time down in Tampa. You know, sometimes you're assistant with a really brilliant coach like a Sean McVay, but you're not that guy. And that was part of the problem 2 years ago.
Yeah. You basically got a job because of who you was tied to instead of what you actually did.
That's right. We see
that all the time in the National Football League. But that's why I feel like because of the lack of reps, right, in terms of joint practices or just preseason affair, Penix probably won't be named the starter week one. It will probably be Tua Tagovailoa. So you throw him out there against some hyenas and let him get beat up a little bit and ate up a little bit.
Terrific.
And so hopefully he don't end up in Grady. But
hey, he's going to come. Meanwhile, how are you guys scoring any points? Because last time, B, we got Zadarius Smith, man. Old man Rivers coming to get you. He's going to put Aaron Rodgers in trouble. I'm telling you, man, your team can't score any points. Let me ask you this before we cut you loose. The under is the play on this game, right?
Yeah, we're going to score all the points.
Oh, please. What was that, 17, Carl? Oh,
here we go. Three field goals. All right, man, look.
Nah, in all honesty, I'm going to keep it real. Right. That Bijan is hell. That Bijan Robinson is hell. Only thing we can hope for in terms of just really dominating the Falcons' offense is the hope that Bijan ain't in really good football shape where he can get, you know, put forth his workload. But that Bijan Robinson, boy, he is hell. Kyle Pitts as hell as well, Drake London. So that's what I'm saying. You got pieces. You got pieces offensively in Atlanta. You got to get the quarterback situation right. But week one, I like us. I like us a whole lot.
Yeah, I bet you do because you're throwing two out there.
Be the starting quarterback. I would do a rain dance if I heard that.
All right, well, we got the dinner on this deal, and the good news is he doesn't drink, so it's a net gain for us. I'll buy you a ribeye.
To Brian's point, I know we got to run. All I need is competent quarterback play, and we'll be in this game.
Right. Baseline, competent quarterback
that's
play.
That's it. He doesn't have to be elite in this game. That's my issue. All right.
You're right.
Got to run, bro. Appreciate you as always, man. Looking forward to the start of the season and our conversations every week. Don't miss Brian McFadden here on the show, guys. Hey, B, have a great weekend.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, we're live at the Tour Championship. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to get you a leaderboard update when we come back. I was following Rory for about five holes today, saw him double bogey, and I felt like I was playing. We'll get into it when we come back. We're live at the Tour Championship. Let's get you a leaderboard update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your local trusted fiduciary advisor, and Bobby Jones Golf Course. Golf open to everyone. And by Twin Peaks, eat, drink, and scenic views, guys. All right, Mike, what's it look like right now? Round two, day two.
Hey, man, we were talking about Cameron Young earlier yesterday. We got off to a really slow start. Well, he didn't do anything. He was even par round one, 8 under today. How about that? For a piece of the lead, Minwoo Lee from Australia through three is even par. Both guys tied at 8 under, so Cameron Young got it into character and got it in gear. The player's a champion winner. Jacob Bridgman, who's got him on your bingo card, he went 5 under. He's got three more holes to play. He's going to pass by us here at 17 in just a second. We're in the Mick Ultra party tent, and just off the 17th fairway, Sam Burns, a lot of LSU fans going for him. He's at 3 under today, 7 under. Chris Goddard. He is even par. He's hanging at 6 under. Colin Morikawa through 4 is at 6 under. Adam Scott at 6 under. What about the guys that were hot yesterday? Well, we got Victor Hovland, 1 over today. He's at 5 under. Ryan Fox, he's at 5 under. So still the British Open champion in the mix. What about Scottie Scheffler? Well, he is through 5 holes, and he is 2 over par.
What?
I'm just telling you, he is 3 under.
What's going on out here?
I'm just telling you, Scottie has struggled on the front nine. Wyndham Clark, by the way, 1-under at 4-under. But just hang in there because Scottie Scheffler is struggling a little bit in the front nine.
Yesterday,
he got hot on the back nine yesterday.
He shot a 65, and there was nothing special. Like, it was almost boring. He's just that good where you look up and go, he shot a 65? And he was 5-under. And coming into the day, that's, what, 3 strokes off the lead. But to your
and Rory point, McIlroy won over today. You and I were watching Rory together for a minute. He's not exactly been lighting it up either.
I followed him. I started following him on 2 and got to 3. He hits the green, and you'll see this on the highlights. And he hit a great spot. But the way the greens are undulated, it rolls off. He gets up there, and we're watching him, and he's kind of shaking his head like, it should have been on.
Right.
So he gets the chipper out, and you go, it's Rory. Chipping uphill, slope.
Right.
Hits it short. It rolls back down the hill.
The dreaded womp womp.
So then he's like, okay, I'll hit a little bit harder with the chipper. Hits it in the same spot. It rolls back down the hill. So you're like, uh-oh. He tells the caddy, give me a putter. And he putts it up within like a foot of the hole, knocks it in, but it was a double. But then, you know, the rest of the way, he's been great. I will say this about Rory. This is what I don't think people get from television. You hear the announcers talking about it. He just murders the ball off the tee. He's 30, 40 yards in front of today. I think he was playing with Smalley. But he's playing 20, 30 yards in front of everybody else. And it's just ridiculous to see how well he hits the ball off the tee. But right now, Mike, he's got a long way to go if he's going to be in contention. And then the Scotty thing is interesting because last week, guys, he had hand, foot, and mouth. They just had their second kid, I think maybe 6-8 months ago, something of that nature. So he had issues with his throat, his hands. He's better this week. So I'm a little bit surprised that he comes back out today after playing so well yesterday, and he's 2-over.
Right. So see where he goes. Tommy Fleetwood, by the way, 1-over today. He's at 3-under. Rory, we just talked about. He is at 1-under right now, 1-over for the round. And, again, just 30 guys. Only 30 names because it's the top 30 golfers in the money. But right now, Cameron Young, Minwoo Lee, and Jacob Bridgman, who's playing with Rory, saw him make a big putt. By the way, can that guy take any longer to hit the ball?
Oh, that's who's playing with Rory. That's Bridgman.
I mean, everyone's got their hands up, so you can't talk. And I whispered to the guy sitting there, I said, go, let's go while we're young. But he made the putt for the birdie.
And by the way, Cameron Young played by himself today because his playing partner, it's Twosome's out here. It was supposed to be J.J. Spahn. Spahn yesterday withdrew. So Cameron Young's flying through today, Mike, playing by himself. It was almost like he had the course to himself, just him and his caddy.
Right.
And I also think it benefited him because – he didn't have a big gap, like folks following him, but literally, like you were like, why is he playing by himself? And I totally forgot until about hole 5 or whatever it was where he was like, oh, yeah, J.J. Spahn's supposed to be playing with him. So maybe that helped him, but I don't think he'll be by himself tomorrow.
Right on, man. So a lot of guys here at East Lake, one of the great weekends in Atlanta sports. Great crowd. More folks on Friday, more folks on Saturday, of course, Sunday. And still tickets, some are available at through the website, through the Tour Championship, through Ticketmaster. But we're in the Mick Ultra tent. At the Mike Ultra Club, which is a blast, and a big crowd today, man. All the beautiful people, Carl, are here today. Getting it in.
Always, man. 447-260-929. Falcons and Dolphins in their final preseason game. Starters will play. No Michael Penix tonight. We'll break down a little bit more coming up as we get done today at 5. Pre-game starts
at 5. That's a bunch of bull.
5 o'clock.
I've got more to say.
You can. Monday. 5
or
o'clock.
Just talk to yourself in the car on the way home.
It's true. So we'll get into that. If you're just joining us, it was glorious, as Mike likes to say, to see the Braves sweep the Dodgers 1-0 last night.
Ohtani 0-for-4.
Dude,
he
was so good.
And what's our favorite line from Predator? Schwarzenegger goes, if it bleeds, we can kill it. You know, the Dodgers have had this mystique about them. And again, the Braves have had 2 down years, just barely making the playoffs 2 years ago. Last year, the injuries, just too much. And even though, as we say, the Dodgers are everything that's wrong with baseball, you still got to go out there and do it.
Yep.
And they've still got a lot of guys that aren't hitting like they should be in that lineup. They've got a guy making a lot of money who's not doing very well, and he's kind of become a head case. We'll talk more about that later in Guy Talk. But Baldwin with the home run, that's all the Braves needed. And then Chris Sale, you know, when we were kids, guys would lose complete games. It wasn't always about because you're up, but because of the arms and the way that innings get eaten and the pitch counts, et cetera, we just don't see complete games like this. But this was a Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz-like effort last night from a guy who's going to Cooperstown and Chris Sale.
No doubt. And I think, Dede, we were talking about it in the break. The Sun's reaction. If you've not seen it, where he sees his dad come back out for the 9th inning, and it was, by the way, the crowd erupted because, to Mike's point, we don't see it. So even at home, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. I want to see this. And his son just is going nuts to see his dad go back out there. I thought that was the most precious moment of the game because his son is so in tune to what's happening. He's like, Dad's got 100 right. pitches. He may not be back out there. And then he comes out of the dugout, and you're like, yeah. But it was great, man. Drake Baldwin, 1-for-4 with that solo shot. That's all we needed. But, Mike, these are the kind of performances we've talked about. Just real quick, where you're in a playoff game, and I've said this, and I've covered these guys, just give them the ball. I got this. I'm going to hold these guys down. All I need is a run tonight. Give me a run, and we'll be good. That's the kind of performances we're talking about in the playoffs. They're far few in between because everybody right. uses their bullpen so differently
Correct.
Now. Where, you know, give me five, and we'll get through with the bullpen. But think about that, too. Last night, the bullpen got a rest.
4-for-27 at the plate with the Braves, as you said it. Chris Sale doing God's work, keeping the bullpen fresh. But the team, you feel the bats is just a byproduct of how good the Dodger pitching is.
Oh,
and
yes,
because
yes.
the road trip was so abysmal, losing the way we did in Minnesota, losing 2 out of 3 to Milwaukee, one game at Williamsport for the Little League Classic. You know, the White Sox game was funky. But, you know, it's just this team has got a lot of heart. Just when you think, uh-oh, the wheels have come off, they regroup against the toughest opponent on the schedule.
Yeah.
So I think that, as you said, I don't want to get over my skis on it, but I like the idea of Sale. Probably Malley would be my second guy in a best of 3 or 5.
Okay, who's your third?
And that's the problem.
That's Smith Sarver?
I don't know.
Elder?
Elder's got to keep the ball in the ballpark. But that's why maybe A.J. Smith-Shaver, and then you just trust your rotation. And you said it. It's maybe a tick below where the night shift was, but if Suarez comes back and really kicks butt and Fuentes continues to show the kind of toughness mentally he's got, that's a hell of a bullpen.
I agree.
And I put that bullpen against the Dodgers for all the things people say about the Dodgers bullpen.
I agree.
With Diaz out and losing his mind and everything else.
Mike, there's a chance now we could have the best overall record in the National League. That changes the
– You just literally went from being 3 games up, looking up at the Brewers, and now, as we said, you can maybe take the Dodgers number 2 seed away. I think all Braves fans agree. A 2 out of 3 is just a scary situation because anything can happen, and it's really not a true test of what you are after 162.
It's really not. Hey, man, we're live at the Tour Championship. Coming up, lots of NFL action here over this weekend, final preseason weekend. And we're going to run down some of these games, talk more about the Falcons. Also, we're going to have a chance to talk to Chad Bishop from the AJC, AJC.com, talking about not only the Sale performance, but the Braves in general, guys, because I think people are watching this from around the league. And look, many Braves fans keep thinking we're going to collapse. Like, this is not going to work out in our favor. And this team's really responding.
But I think
it's really responding.
Let's just go through it. I mean, Philly is probably going to make the playoffs. We talked about the Padres with Tony Gwynn Jr. Milwaukee still has to get over that mental hurdle of being able to finish. They should be – look, if the games were played on paper, it's what Kenny Mayne say. No, they're played inside television sets. But in Milwaukee, this should be their year. But they've always shown, if we're honest, going back to 21, a little tightness in some big moments. The Dodgers, we've seen Dave Roberts manage his way out of some big games. And we just saw the Dodgers play very tight against the Braves.
We did. And to your point with the Brewers, in those years, there were years where they had some of the best bullpen pieces, best closer. We faced them in 21. We saw that. To your point, like, that was a team that was supposed to get there, and they didn't. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. What does the schedule look like as far as the preseason outside of the Falcons at Dolphins? Also, Chad Bishop to stop by, and we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind coming up in the 3 o'clock hour and more from the Tour Championship here at Eastlake. It's Dukes and Bell.